Hello and welcome to BSN Extra. I'm your host, Jason Barfield, and we've got another good show lined up today. Once again, Bobby Williams is coming back in studio, back-to-back shows with Bobby, as we continue our conversation on this transition into Conference USA, FBS football, and everything that goes into play with that. We're going to dive a little bit more into facilities and really kind of talk about that moment that Bobby sat down and realized that a change needed to be made and what we needed to do from a facility standpoint to take these programs to the next level. So we're going to get into that. A lot of questions about marketing. What's being done to market this athletic department? We're going to dive into those discussions as well. And then finally, we're going to talk about the fan experience and some of the things that need to happen, that have happened, and that are going to happen to help increase the fan experience at Sam Houston athletic events. All of that coming up in just a moment here on BSN Extra. Hey, Bearcat fans, football season is right around the corner, and we want you there. There is no better place to be in the fall than Bauer Stadium. So log on today and get your season tickets. You can get them by going to gobearcats.com/tickets, or you can do it mobily by logging into the Go Bearcats app. We want you there to be a part of this exciting time in Sam Houston history as the Cats begin the transition to FBS football and Conference USA. Eat them up, Cats. Welcome back to BSN Extra. I'm Jason Barfield, and I'm joined once again by Bobby Williams. And, you know, we had such a great conversation before about really the direction of the department. Still a ton of stuff we didn't get a chance to get to. We talked about it last time. We could have gone 2 hours. So let's try this some more. Let's dive a little bit deeper. We touched on facilities last time, but really I want to get back into that a little bit and just kind of the direction of the department. You know, when you look back in the lead up to the national championship for football, one of the things that Coach Keeler talked a lot about was just what they did as a staff, and that after the semifinal loss in 2017 to North Dakota State, that the plane ride back, they sat and looked, and they looked at the program and just said, they've got to make some changes. They have to change the type of players they're bringing in, the way that they're coaching them, and just the overall direction, the scheme, and everything like that of the program so that they could compete with North Dakota State and James Madison. And, you know, we saw the ultimate result of that. It certainly had a couple of years where we were transitioning, but the end result was a national championship. You had some similar discussions, you know, around that in terms of facilities. Kind of go into that a little bit for me.
Well, it was interesting because Coach Keeler and I sat down right after that game and started looking at what was happening to us, and it required a pivot for us. We were trying to move forward in several different areas and growing, but what we ran into after that game was some of the I don't know what you call negative backlash of losing to North Dakota State again. And so we had to readjust what we were doing on the field and off the field as well. And the requirement for what we need to do after what Coach Keeler and I's conversation was, we had to focus more. We added nutritionists. We had extra strength coach in football. We had some other things that we began to focus on. And because of that, we had to reallocate some of those resources that hurt some other areas in the department, which we'll talk about a little bit here later. But it was able to move us forward, get football where we need to be, and it worked out for us, winning a national championship. It's not too dissimilar with what we're dealing with right now with this transition from the Southland to the WAC to Conference USA. We're having to really, really adjust and reallocate a lot of those resources to make sure this happens. Facilities was another focus that we looked at. Our master plan that we had begun in 2016, we had some priorities, and we had to make some adjustment for the recruiting purposes. I know a lot of people have talked about the fan experience and some of the things, and some of that was hurt by some of the things we wanted to do in the press box and some other areas, but we had to get new locker room. We had to improve our Coliseum recruiting areas and Maffridge Fieldhouse and some other things, so we had to begin that process of doing it. And that was a challenge when you have a piece of the pie and you're trying to, it's not expanding from that standpoint, and you had to reallocate some resources to make some certain things happen. And when that happens, some things suffer. But we felt like we had to have a product on the field, and that's what we did.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that and just kind of how that process was, because you said, you've got a puzzle. And, you know, 5-6 years ago, you knew how you wanted that puzzle to be put together. Well, then things change. You move out of the Southland, so things have to adjust. And then the opportunity Conference USA comes up, and you have to adjust. Some projects that had already been started, you couldn't help at that point. But just kind of talk a little bit about that process of, you know, having to really adjust how you're putting that puzzle together now.
Well, you know, the press box was the number one priority in that first part of it. And then adding some additional areas for fan space and different things like that, fan experience was part of that, along with a new area for academics and compliance and some things like that that need to be done. And then just expanding, you know, stadium opportunities and redoing restrooms and concessions and all that was the priority from that standpoint. But we had to adjust, and we made those adjustments with some staffing changes that we had to improve to make the situation better. And then also the renovations of locker rooms and offices, and just the general recruiting when we're bringing student athletes on campus, that they could see that. And that was a big part of that. You know, the other things that we were talking about too was eventually moving track out of the Al Bauer Stadium, which was part of that plan. Getting a soccer stadium, track stadium, tennis, improving those facilities were in there, and they had to be adjusted because we prioritized some different avenues moving forward. And so that's some of the decisions that people don't realize that you have to make in order to keep the product good on the field. And then move forward from there.
You know, when you look at everything that's been done over the last 15 years, the construction of the baseball softball complex, the weight room, the Coliseum work, the field house, significant upgrades were made behind the scenes of all those facilities. The athletes are the ones who've seen a bulk of the improvements. You've always said one of the focuses in the department was enhancing the student athlete experience, which certainly has happened. Now the question is, what about the fan experience?
Well, you know, the key thing is when we made those changes back in 15 years ago, we had to improve the product on the field to keep our fans and our alumni positive about what we're doing. I mean, the interesting part about our jobs is you have to win. You have to be successful on the field to hang around and have impact on other areas in the department and at the university. So we made those decisions. We made a lot of improvements. I know when baseball, softball came online, it was really a big plus for us from what we had been at Holloman Field in the old softball stadium. And it was enjoyable to see. It improved the fan experience. We were able to do that as well. And that's what we hope for moving forward, that as we can kind of improve our areas of recruitment, that also affects the fan experience as well. You know, from that perspective, the weight room was huge too. I mean, we had to wait a year to get that. We were trying to get that in the baseball softball complex, but that gives you a little idea of what we deal with here at Sam Houston. Is it was delayed because of funding, and then when we got the funding a year later, it became one of the best weight facilities, strength facilities around. 12,000 square feet. It helped our teams. You saw our team starting to get more consistent when we did that. We expanded the strength coaching areas. Those are areas that people do not see, but have an impact on how successful those teams are. But I can assure you, as we move forward with everything and revising our master plan and facilities, a focus is on the fan experience. We have to be. You know, I've talked about the Piney Woods game in the past and how that changed a lot of things at the university, and it changed our events and how it's kind of almost hurt us at Bowers and at Coliseum and even at baseball, softball, because it's an NFL experience for a day. Now, it's interesting that our fan base is not paying that NFL experience for that day, but it's a positive for all of us to keep moving forward. And we've got to do that here in Huntsville to make sure that you know, everybody's coming to see us play.
You talk about the master plan and, you know, kind of how things have had to adjust and change. Dive into the master plan for me a little bit and just kind of tell me where we are, kind of what's been done on it, and kind of where the next steps are as far as that master plan goes.
Well, it's ironic that, you know, with the renovation of the Coliseum, with the renovation of Mafford's Fieldhouse that we talked about, those kind of moved up into priorities after 2017. And so we've been able to get those accomplished. The other thing that was in that was the tennis facility, which we had $1 million donation from Chuck and Wanda Beckner, and then able to find some additional money that we're trying to deal with right now on the pricing standpoint, because it's over budget. I don't think it's over budget. It's just cost right now are making it over budget. We have a very solid budget from that standpoint, and hopefully they come back so we can get that done. But those were accelerated because of a donation moving up from there. And that was all part of moving the track out of the out of Bowers and trying to get soccer in a nice facility as well, which we're still trying to find those fundings. But ironically, in 2016, the main priority, fan experience, the press box improvement, the concessions, the restrooms, everything like that, that was part of that number one priority, is now back at number one. And that's what we've been dealing with Dr. White and I, going and looking at facilities and looking at and talking to PBK Sports and others about how we can make this happen, what the budget's going to be, what we're looking at. And the focus is on to get that ready for fall of 24, as I mentioned last time. We want to go into Conference USA with that facility and those improvements. Construction's going to, you know, take a little bit of time, but we're moving forward with that. We haven't been sitting on our hands, so to speak. We've been moving forward with that and a lot of discussions. I also mentioned the issues we dealt with the locker room situation. You know, that was a part of, we just ran out of space on that. That was a spacing issue because of what happened in the mechanical part of it in renovating Mafford's Fieldhouse. And we've got to get that done. And that should be done beginning by next fall, which is, you know, it doesn't affect the fan experience, but it does help us run a better program from as we move into Conference USA. Now, we're also looking at those terraces that we're looking at trying to get in place for next fall as well, that we'll be able to roll that out hopefully and show that in the next few weeks. That's already been designed, and they're looking at pricing right now, and so that we can improve the fan experience moving forward as early as next year.
One thing I want to see if you can kind of expand on a little bit, we talked about last time, and you kind of touched on the fact that you and Dr. White have been traveling, and y'all have been going to different facilities and looking, and you said, you know, in some areas – we're in good shape. In some areas, we are behind. What are some of those areas that you saw when you were visiting other schools that you said, yeah, we've got to get better there?
Well, I think, you know, and I've been heading down this road personally looking at it. I think some of the more open areas, like we're talking about with those terraces or you know, the traditional sitting on a bench seat, sitting in a chair back seat, that experience is you've got to have some other ideas and from that perspective to make the fan experience bigger. You know, the pavilion that was built that with the assistance from Aramark last year, that kind of those type of things that you have to build within your stadiums are what I see a lot of, and you're seeing it nationally as well, whether it's even building those things up in the upper decks of SEC stadiums that you're seeing. And so we're looking, it's just not about the premium areas, but it's also about gathering area points in the stadium. You know, having run this stadium and been around the stadium since its inception, you know, the concessions and the restrooms, just improving those areas are extremely important. And I think with the what we're looking at from the press box renovation and expansion, you know, you're looking at that from moving the concession stands outside, so there's more concourse area and less pressure from a fan standpoint of having to walk through certain crowds, more larger expanded restrooms. Those are some of the areas, the basic necessities that we've got to keep expanding on. You know, whenever you go to NFL stadiums or even college stadiums, those are always with large crowds a challenge, not only at Bowers but other places that I see. Even at some of the venues we see going to the WAC and the Southland, I've seen some of those type of situations that we've got to, you know, our fans see a lot of ours, but there's some other places that are more challenging than ours. We've just got to expand and make it better.
And I think the key thing here, and, you know, one of the things that y'all have talked about is it's not just doing these things for the fans, but it's doing it the right way. And talk just a little bit about, you know, the challenges and, you know, kind of how that affects the process of not just doing something, but making sure it gets done right.
Well, and that's the key part is, you know, when you go into designing a change and somebody comes up with an idea, you've got to make sure that you've got value for the money that you're investing in it. It's got to be able to increase the fan experience, but it's also got to increase revenue at some point in time. You can't just spend something, you know, $100,000 to make $5,000. That model doesn't work. And I know we've had a lot of those ideas at baseball, at Don Sanders, where they won't create certain picnic areas and you spend $50,000 to improve something, but you don't make any revenue off of that. It's great for the fan experience. We want to do that. But we, in order to keep moving forward at the level that our fans, that our teams need to compete at, we've got to have a revenue stream. And that's everything we do, whether it's people makes them uncomfortable from that standpoint, we've got to factor that in. And then you've got to find the money, make the investment, and then implement it.
Well, speaking of finding the money, we're going to get into that in just a moment. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into the marketing side of it and talk about how we're going to make the money to pay for the things that need to happen here. All of that coming up in just a moment here on BSN Extra. Saturday, October 1st, NRG Stadium will once again be home to the Battle of the Piney Woods. As for the 12th straight season, the Bearcats and Lumberjacks will hook up in the home of the Houston Texans. Ensure you have the best seats available by getting your Bearcat season tickets by going to gobearcats.com/tickets. If you're just looking for individual seats to the game or want to purchase more for family and friends, check out Ticketmaster.com to secure your single game seats for the Battle of the Piney Woods. Eat them up, cats. And welcome back to BSN Extra. Jason Barfield joined by Director of Athletics, Bobby Williams. And we talked about the facilities and you talked about some of the challenges there. One of those challenges is money and getting the funding for this. So let's talk a little bit about that. We're going to go into that side of things that have changed in the department. And I want to start off with Van Wagner. A couple of years ago, the decision was made to bring Van Wagner into the fold here in the department. And that's a question I get from a lot of people. What do they do and what function do they serve our department?
Well, you know, when we started building this 15 years ago, that particular area, it was a challenge. You can never have enough staff or a large enough department to basically move that forward like you need to. And so we had to do that. We wanted to expand it because we knew that expand our licensing, season ticket sales, marketing, everything like that. So we've done that over the last 15 years or so. But it became a certain point where we were just not going to be able to chase that and expand it to what it needed to be. So we needed some expertise and some help, and that's where Van Wagner came. The national New York City sponsorship type organization that knows how to sell that and expand down into Montgomery County and Harris County. That was a big part of it. We've done a very good job locally with handling our sponsorships. Our local businesses and support that we've gotten from the Huntsville area, Walker County area, has been great, and we've been able to handle that internally. But now to expand down into Montgomery County and Harris County like we have, that's what we needed expertise with Van Wagner, and I think that's what we're seeing. We're already seeing a positive with how they structure what we do with our sponsorships and different things like that. It's very positive.
And I think one of the things people don't really realize is it's not just a corporate entity who oversees everything. They actually have personnel here. Zach Kaddish kind of leads that program here, and they're bringing in another person to assist with that. So they've got people here in the building on a day-to-day basis. How big is that?
It's huge because, I mean, sales is a big part of it. And they, with their background and their connections with all the major brands and even connections in the local areas and down in Houston, Montgomery County, that they have national relationships, even with other universities. They're able to add that, and that's something that we were not able to do. We were kind of in an island by ourselves trying to handle this, and that's a challenge. So, you know, getting in the door is a big part of it, and I think adding Van Wagner and that national brand was huge for us.
Well, Van Wagner plays a big part on the corporate partnership side, but there's been a lot of talk about just marketing the department and, You know, that's been a role that's really developed over the years within this department. It started with the hire of Chris Park, followed by Bobby Jordan, and they did a really good job of getting that office, getting that department started. David Pateson was later brought on. He had the pro experience, and then Russell Martinez was brought in from that local side of things. So just talk a little bit about that position, how it's changed and evolved over the years with each one of the hires.
Well, I think it's very important moving forward because we were kind of on an island, as I mentioned, that we were building it locally, and it was just in the athletic department. I think with what the university's doing, the strategic plan for the new marketing plan and coordinating that as a university is going to be critical in helping us do what we need to do. I think just us out there, even though we've worked with student affairs and alumni office and a variety of different things, it's important that it's a university-driven situation where we can enhance that part of it. I think we've done a really good job of building that out, but moving forward, it's going to change. The other thing is when we made those changes back in 2017 to focus on the student athlete and improving the teams, one of the things that suffered was the marketing aspect of it. You can see the big change is how we used to do fireworks. We had some bands. We did some other things like that with tailgating and improvement with the after we went to Frisco the first couple of times. But then in 2017, because of the reallocation of resources to keep the team successful, that's one thing that got hurt. And we had to make some tough decisions, whether people agree with it or not. It was a difficult decision we had to do to make sure that we were there. And then you throw in the pandemic and some of the things you're seeing a lot of the team, you know, attendance going down and different things like that, especially even a national championship. So we've got to rebuild that, and that's what we're doing now. And it's going to depend a lot on working with the university moving forward.
You know, last time we touched on the staff changes within the department, and, you know, a lot of people have new roles and really a new focus. One of the additions that I do want to focus on now is the addition of Dave Kennard, who's going to oversee the external office. What does his addition mean for the department, and kind of what can he bring that maybe we haven't seen in the past?
Well, you know, when we go back to David Pateson hiring from the NHL, that was kind of outside the box. And he improved it in a lot of ways, a lot of the areas. I think Dave's hire is going to be very similar from that standpoint to move us even forward. With his background at Arizona State, Kentucky, Boise State, he's a graduate of UCLA. I think he's worked at UCLA from there. He's seen the FBS level. He understands that particular area of marketing. And I think he's going to bring some wealth of knowledge that we need to have in that area. And expanding hopefully with our reallocating our staff to be able to be better focused. I know in your area doing the same thing, to focus on the broadcasting aspect of it, to keep moving forward. The demands that we're going to have on not only marketing, but branding and, the streaming aspect and having an impact down in Houston, is going to be critical to reallocating those resources and staff to better focus on what we need to do.
And I think one of the big things with Dave coming in too, you know, you mentioned everything that he's been. He was also at Abilene Christian too. So he's seen really both sides of it, and he's had some applicable situations where he can take what he had done in the Pac-12 and how it applies to an Abilene Christian type school. How much of a benefit is that then for him to come in and say he knows where we've been and he knows where we're trying to go and what it's going to take to get there?
I think it's a great partnership, a great merge from what we need to do because he understands what we're dealing with. He understands who we are because he worked at Abilene. He was part of that expansion and the premium seating and the new facility that they had, and that kind of coincides with us moving forward too in our premium seating and the press box renovation and the fan experience. So he not only understands who we are and what we have to deal with, but he sees the bigger picture with all the other experiences he has as well.
We're going to bring him in here in a couple of weeks and get a chance to sit and talk to him on this and let him talk about it a little bit. But From your perspective, what do you think maybe are his biggest challenges coming into this position?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's almost like in 2017, the view of who we are and what we're trying to do and what expectations are and while we're building. We had to do that in 17 with Coach Keeler and I and how we did it. We had to basically move forward in the midst of some negative environments from external and that type of thing. And we had to stay the course and move forward. I think that's what Dave and all of us are going to have to do is understand this is a transition and that we're working for fall of 24 from that, July of 24, even though we'll be in there next year. But there's some things that we're going to be able to do, some things that we're not going to be able to do. But we're really focusing on getting it in place so that we can have a good rollout in fall of 24.
And, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, some of the ideas that have been in place in terms of marketing and some things that have been done in the past have been successful. Some things weren't successful. And so I think, you know, now being in that assessment phase of, okay, what have we done that has worked? And, you know, maybe we haven't done it in the last year or two. There's different reasons for that. But what are some things that maybe you see that we can kind of start to bring back into the fold as we start this transition process and build towards 24?
Well, I think the biggest part is working with the university on the in the new marketing area. I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. Coordinating that, with you know, some special events that we have, like we whether it's jerseys, orange out, white out, anything like that that we do. We've got to work with the university, so it's a university-driven across the board from that standpoint. It's very difficult and challenging just to be on an island out there with athletics and working with certain things. You know, it's interesting to me from a marketing standpoint of how we've always just focused on the major events, and I'm talking about we, the university has. I know when we played Texas in baseball this past spring, and boy, everybody's lined up to do some type of marketing, whatever it was, alumni, crawfish bowl, everything like that. And that's easy. That's the easy part. I mean, that's a no-brainer, so to speak, to dealing with hiring. You know, we could not do anything and have a great crowd for that. It's when you have the other teams that come in that you may do that everything, and we've done it before. And you don't get the same impact. And yet people talk about, it's a marketing thing. It's marketing. Well, we've got to have more coordinated effort with the university and us in branding and marketing and different things like that so that we can have a consistent, positive moving forward of the university and our department.
And that's where the new CMO is going to come into place. And that's an initiative that Dr. White recognized as a need for the university. And so it'll bring somebody in who will help guide that. And obviously athletics is going to be a big part of that, but it is going to be more of a community-wide, university-wide strategic plan for everybody to be involved. And so how big of a benefit is that for athletics to have a kind of an outside voice, an outside vision? You know, we know what we can do to make things better, but maybe having another set of eyes and another voice saying, you know, maybe try this, this, and this, and bring these people involved as well. And, you know, and maybe take that level of enhancement from, you know, from B to A.
Well, I think it's going to be extremely important because of the investment the university's making in it. You know, we've been able to invest, but not at a high level because of everything that we deal with within our budget. And so some of the marketing campaigns haven't been able to be fully funded from that standpoint. I think the university commitment as a whole will be able to do that. We'll be able to tie in better, especially with the Under Armour agreement, special jerseys, special events that we have. We'll be able to tie that in a lot better as a university in order to improve and expand on that, you know, whether it's game-related wear and, you know, what our coaches are wearing and different things that we haven't been able to do. But now with Under Armour and with other things and the new logos, we're going to also rebrand the new logos again. I mean, unfortunately, when we launched it, it was during COVID and pandemic, and we had one of the best CLC. We met with them a week ago, and they were talking about how great, even during that time, it was how positive it was. So, but we're going to look at next year trying to redo that again and not redo the brand, so to speak, of the logos, but, relaunch it, and which I think it deserves. And I think with the new CMO and all the different things with the university, we can do a lot of those things that will make the fan experience better.
You know, a lot of the people who, you know, maybe not be on board with the move to Conference USA right now, they may be saying athletics isn't ready to make this move. And you know what? Maybe not. But this isn't athletics making this move. This is the university making this move. How is that a different mindset?
Well, it's funny because I've been through this before when we moved from the Lone Star Conference to the Gulf Star to the Southland, when we moved up from Division II to Division I. And we did it athletically. I think we back in the 80s, I think we did that. But the university wasn't with us on that. And you saw after 4 years of initial success, then we had a drop. What's different now is the university's behind this. I mean, this is a move with the university, with R2 status, with everything that's going on with the medical school, all the things that we talk about, the growth of the university, how we need to keep an enrollment growing. We've been in a growth for 15 years as a university. So I think the university's in a different place to help us, and that's why I'm optimistic that we'll work together.
All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get in some little odds and ends, things like that, and a few other things that are happening around the department that we can touch on here on BSN Extra. Single game tickets for Sam Houston soccer, volleyball, and football are now available by logging on to GoBearcats.com/tickets or by checking out the Go Bearcats app. You can get the best seats for all the hottest action this fall at Sam Houston. Check it all out, GoBearcats.com or on the mobile app, or you can call the ticket office at 936-294-1729. Eat them up, cats. And welcome back to BSN Extra. Jason Barfield here alongside Bobby Williams. And, you know, we've talked about the fan experience on numerous occasions. And some of that is the facilities and what can be done to enhance the game day atmosphere, whether it might be tailgating, whether it might be in-venue stuff, you know, and stuff like that. And certainly plans are in place. Well, you know, another thing that, you know, I know you've heard a ton over the years is, I might come to more games if the opponents were different, you know, and there's just playing in the Southland, playing in the WAC, there's just a lot we can't do about that sometimes. You know, you can't, just because you want a certain team to come to Bowers to see them play, and yes, that would bring a ton of people here, it has to work both ways. They have to want to come down here as well, so you have to have a product that people are willing to come down, and it's going to be beneficial for both sides. So certainly the scheduling has been a challenge. So now, making the decision to move to Conference USA, how big of a factor was knowing that the schedules are going to be elevated and enhanced went into that decision?
Well, it was huge before we had the opportunity to move to Conference USA because I was hearing that. I mean, you can do all the marketing and fan experience that you want, but when they kept gravitating towards who you were playing and some of the things, we couldn't get certain teams to come in to play us and that type of thing. Now, the playoffs benefited. We invested a lot in the playoffs over the years because of the way the NCAA does that structure and making competitive bids. And we were able to bring some teams in during the playoffs like that because of our ranking and because of what we were putting forward in the bid process. So that was a positive as well. But that was a big part during COVID when we were looking at the WAC, you know, just changing our view. And who we've been playing to try to see if that would help us to bring in some better teams and from that perspective, just some more attractive teams for our fan base that they would come to watch us here. So that was a big plus from moving and looking at the WAC. And then all of a sudden Conference USA comes into play, and it was a game changer for us. I mean, if you look at the schedule that we've released, some of the teams that we have an opportunity to come to Bowers, some of the teams that we will have to come down at NRG, is going to be something that wouldn't happen if we stayed in the WAC or in the Southland. I mean, at the FCS level, it just wasn't going to happen. But now we're having those discussions and being able to improve that situation is dramatic from that viewpoint. And I'm excited about it. And I think that answers a lot of our fans' concerns about being able to bring people into Bowers. We improved the stadium situation, the fan experience. It will improve the marketing aspect of it. And so it all kind of comes together. That's the thought process behind this. It's going to take a little time. We've got this transition period, and people are going to have to be patient. People ask me, how can we help? I need your patience. And I know you've been really patient, or you think you've been patient, but we need it now, and we need your support and a positive part of it to see the opportunity here that we have.
You know, I think one of the things that's really interesting, too, with the schedule, you know, when you look at the road games and, you know, the opportunities to go play, a lot of times, you know, in the past, those FBS games have been Texas A&M, which we're going to open with this year, but Texas Tech, Baylor, LSU, they've all been relatively close. They've been short trips, and it's been, you know, your Big 12, your SEC-type teams. With this schedule now, you're getting the opportunity to get a BYU in there, to get a Central Florida in there. And, yes, there are new teams into the Big 12, but, you know, it's a little bit different look. And so I think it gives the schedule kind of a different feel as well, because you go into it saying, you know, these are teams we haven't had the chance to play before, because, you know, you can add Baylor, you can add Houston, you can add Rice, but once again, they're still familiar opponents. How much does it help bringing in opponents that we've never seen before?
Well, I think it's fresh. We even saw that in FCS when we played Boise back in the day, or we go to Montana State back in the 80s and 90s and some things like that. We weren't just playing the same teams over and over in our area or our region. So I think we're going to see a bump from that standpoint too as well. Fans getting excited about playing somebody that we haven't played before that is nationally recognized, and that's going to be a positive.
Kind of making that same parallel there. You know, you talk about playing teams. It gives the fan base, it gives the coaching staff, the administration an opportunity to see how things happen at another school. And, you know, we talk a little bit about going to Montana in 2001 and again in 2004 and how an eye-opening experience that was to see how it's done at our level, at the highest level, and, you know, how a successful program like Montana. And, you know, that was kind of thing. We wanted to be Montana. We wanted to rise to that level. Do you kind of see the same thing here when you have a BYU and you have a Central Florida and say, okay, this is now a chance. We're stepping up a level. Let's see how they're doing it at this level.
Exactly, and I think in Conference USA we're seeing that as well as we travel around and see who we're going to be competing against. That's the exciting, a big part of that. That was also another reason why when we dealt with the schedule this year at 9 games, you know, we just didn't want to bring in somebody that nobody had heard of just to play a game, and we couldn't get certain teams to come in and play us from that perspective. So we dealt with it, and that's why we chose to only do 9 this year, whether people agree with it or not. I heard the fans in the past talking about who we were playing, and it just didn't make sense to do that. But moving forward next year, you're going to see that a positive. It's all going to be new and fresh, and it's exciting to go see that. It gives our fans another opportunity to go see other areas that they've never been.
Speaking of new and fresh, there is talk about a new program. It's been a long time since a sport has been added. Bowling was the last one to come into the fold. Before that, it was women's soccer. So next, what's next for this department?
Well, our plan was prior to COVID in 2019 to already have beach volleyball as our new sport, and that's what we're doing. It was delayed because of the COVID situation and different things like that. So, but we're looking at hiring a coach in January of 2024, with play in the spring of 2025. We've got to build a facility, which is part of that. We've got to add a coach, recruiting, scholarships, those type of things that we've got to do. And so that's the similar time frame that we dealt with when we added bowling, when we added soccer, when we added women's golf back in the day, is to give that lead time to prepare, get it in the budget, and add it so that we can go out and recruit and be ready to play. We've told Conference USA that we'll be playing in the spring of 25.
And, you know, you talk about that lead time and certainly kind of seen that already in practice. You look at what bowling was able to do and Brad Hagan and coming in and having a chance to settle in and really build everything from scratch where you're not having to jump in and play games immediately. How important is that for a coach, for the department, to kind of have that lead-in time to help make sure the program is built right?
It's huge. And the other thing is the facility aspect. We have it in the design with the tennis. It's part of that. So we have a space from that perspective, something that Brad didn't have because we were looking at the local bowling alley, which was not a good situation. And then the university, you know, with the renovation at LSC, built us a great facility in bowling. We're trying to avoid that in Beach. We want to make sure that they have a quality facility moving forward and not having to deal with that negative situation. And so we want to do it the right way. And being able to allocate it the right way so our coach can come in and recruit at a high level and compete in Conference USA.
Because you can sit there and say this is a temporary situation all you want, but there is still a negative to coming into a facility that may not be up to the standard that you want it to be. So it is big then for the program to be able to start fresh, everything new, and to have their own place right from the beginning.
Right, and it does take resources from the whole department. I mean, to do this, we've got to reallocate some things, and hopefully by the time that we add it, that we have increased some revenue streams in all the different areas that we're looking at to alleviate some of that we don't have to reallocate certain funds then not be able to move us forward in some areas like marketing or something like that.
All right. Well, I think we touched on quite a few topics here today. Certainly more is going to come up, and this is something I'd like to regularly do. So let's kind of pencil you in. Let's keep this going. And as we move on throughout the year, let's continue to talk about some of the things that are coming up as we make this transition to Conference USA.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm excited. I mean, we've had some good positive feedback from it, and even the criticism has been helpful as well. So we'll just keep moving forward, and I'll make the allotted time for what we need to do, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more conversations moving forward.
That is going to do it for this week's show. Once again, I want to thank Bobby Williams for coming into studio and sitting down and really having an open, honest conversation with us about the direction of this department. We're going to continue to have these conversations throughout the year, not just with Bobby, but we're going to be bringing in some of the people who are part of this department who are going to make all of this happen and all of this work as we move into Conference USA and FBS football. So hopefully you enjoy what we've been putting out. Continue to ask questions. Continue to be vocal, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for feedback. We want to make this the best experience, not just for the athletes, not just for the coaches, but for the fans, the alumni, the students, everybody who has a stake in Sam Houston athletics. We want to be involved in this process. So hopefully you take part in that conversation and continue to drive this department, these teams, this university forward. This week's episode is recorded in the all-new studios in the Wood Forest Bank Athletic Center. This episode was written and produced by Jason Barfield. All music is courtesy ScottHolmesMusic.com. This has been a presentation of the Bearcat Sports Network.